It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon, and this is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yes, 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 I'm back. It's a hot one today, you know? It's hot. How y'all doing? First of all, my bad, I ain't even speak. Okay. Yeah, it's hot, right? Yeah, it's hot. It's hot, man. I feel like what's my man's name? Rev on the good Reverend Doctor on Do the Right Thing. It's hot. Shout out to Ozzie Davis. Shout out to Ruby D. Huh? Come on. Beautiful black legacy couple, you know? Anyway, rest in peace to both of them. But yeah, it's hot, man. It's in the 80s now. It's in the 80s a few days this week, so it's going to be something. I haven't been outside just yet. I'm recording this one early because I got some running around to do tonight. And, wanted to get something to the people. Now, what? I don't know, because I don't really have too much of an opinion on anything that's going on, or I ain't really been paying attention to too much that's been going on, you know? You know, recently, man, I've been seeing things that's going on in the news, and I'm like, I could care less. I could care less. I don't like that, but it's the truth of the matter. I could care less. And obviously, most people could care less because nobody going to be talking about it in a week. So, there have been a couple things I missed, and it is what it is. Sorry about that. I do want to say rest in peace, Kiki Shepherd, because I definitely forgot to say that back when that. When she passed a couple weeks back. I do want to say that, though. That's Apollo legend, you know? That's real. That's real. That, you know, everything has been said, so I ain't got too much more, you know. But she definitely, you know, was a mainstay in a mainstay program. I don't know if, I mean, obviously, I don't think Showtime at the Apollo still comes on anymore. I'm pretty sure it does not. It's been a while. But growing up, well, that was one of them. That was one of them shows. And the Apollo, just as a venue, is legendary. But it used to be infamous. Getting booed at the Apollo was not a game. Sandman coming out and drag you off stage. Ooh, you might have to stay in the house for a few days because everybody saw it in the community. Everybody. You know, it's so funny, though. Speaking of the Apollo as a venue, I heard this, I almost posted it. I meant to post it. There's this young white girl. I don't know if she was being funny or she was being sincere, but it was funny. And if she was trolling, it was a good troll. It's almost as good a troll as Drumar Johnson. So Kat was like, we'll talk about that in a second. But this one girl, she was like, I never knew Stevie Wonder was alive. And I didn't know he was black. I told my mom, Stevie Wonder's black. She was like, yeah, and he's blonde. She was like, he's blonde. And so that wasn't the one that made me laugh. The one that made me laugh was she was like, I didn't know Arsenio Hall was a real person. She said, I thought it was a venue. All these people was like, yeah, I'm on the Arsenio Hall show. I'm thinking they performing at Arsenio Hall. That was funny as shit, man. Speaking of which, I do want to read that Arsenio book when I get my hands on. I want to check that out. I didn't know all these years that he actually quit. He wasn't let go. I mean, I knew that the Farrakhan theory was kind of bogus after a few years, but that was a prevailing theory for a long time. Yeah, he had Farrakhan on the show. White folks, they got rid of him. You know, that was, I don't know why I did that. This guy, I don't know who, I guess this is the griot in the neighborhood that be telling stories. But anyway, yeah. The Drumar Johnson is this, there was a video of a black dude carrying a white woman up some steps. A thick white woman. You couldn't tell who she, you know, you just knew she was a white girl. You seen her from the back, seen her, you know what I mean? The white ass and thighs of it all. Pog action, you know what I'm saying? And that, which is quite polarizing. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of people was like, he carrying up the steps. A lot of people, you know, they, I guess they, you know, the always the running joke is, you better call Dr. Umar. You know what I'm saying? This nigga over here with the snow bunnies, better call Dr. Umar, fucking with the pink toes. You know what I mean? So, you know, I guess they leaving memes and gifs. And the cat responded. He was like, yo, so I see y'all been tagging this guy, Drumar Johnson. I don't know who he is. I didn't look at his content, but I guess he's a fitness creator. Maybe he could tell me some things about my technique or whatever. But Drumar Johnson, shout out to you. And it was just a funny online troll, you know. Because the thing about a handle is, if you're a doctor, it's not like you can make it, can't capitalize it. And obviously, you know who Dr. Umar is, but it was, that shit was funny. Drumar. What made it funny is because it was right there. You know what I mean? Sometimes there's jokes that are like right there that you just didn't see. You know, and it was right there. Anybody could have got that. That cat got that, and it was what it was. Oh, man. What's going on, man? What's going on? There's talk. There's talk in the world about a $40 half chicken. I think it's someplace in Brooklyn. And it's got the, I don't even want to say the internet, because I don't think that's a thing. But I think it's got a little subset of food people in a bit of a stir, right? And I do believe, you know, some of these pages that are New York based or New York focused, I do believe that there are at least two different New Yorks, you know? So there's a lot of people talking about $40 half roast chickens, right? And there's quite a few of these places. You know, this half chicken, you get some potatoes and a little bit of sauce for half of a chicken for $40. Now, people are outraged. That's crazy. But there's a community of people that know, like, okay, let them do that over there. Just don't impede all of that $40 half chicken energy into the real world, where you get a half a chicken still for about $15, which then got steep, because I remember when a half a chicken was $10 and a full chicken was $20. You know, but that's the part of getting old, though. You know, I went to Marmoon's just recently, the falafel spot, you know, on McDougal. It's been there forever to go get a shawarma. I hadn't had one in a minute. And I remember the last, it must have been at least 10 years that I'd been there, probably longer than that. And I remember way back in the days, like, the shawarma was like $6, which for whatever reason was like, all right, well, damn, that's kind of diesel for the, because the falafel was like $3. So you're like, damn. Shawarma must be cracking. This shit is two falafels, right? Then I go to the spot just recently. The fucking falafel is $6 and the shawarma is $10. Now, I was expecting that because this inflation has been many years, but it still was a moment of reckoning. Like, oh, shit. And I did the old guy thing of, and it's crazy because the woman that was taking my order was like, she's a young girl. She probably wasn't no more than, you know, early 20s or whatever. And I was like, I remember when the shawarma cost as much as the falafel. When the falafel cost, and she was like, all right, old head. You know what I mean? Take your shawarma. What you want me to do? Take your shawarma and go. So I had to get my shawarma and get the fuck out of there. But I think there'd be this thing where people are like, yo, don't let this gain traction. Don't let, because there's certain foods, and it's almost like I see this, I guess, attitude or defense of people that want to keep common food. I guess common is, just like food for the people, low. Like, we got to keep it low because, God forbid, the shit gets, you know, infiltrated and oxtails become crazy, or, you know, when they hear about, like, there's still certain things. You almost don't even want to repeat it in the world for fear of, you know, the shit being gouged. You know, I remember Pete Wells from the New York Times wrote about Trend City Rhodey, you know, the little Baker shark or whatever. Fortunately, he just talked about that because then it's like, you know, you get doubles in there for the, you know, $2-3. You know what I mean? Shit. Don't let the doubles be discovered. Them shits will be $7. Or even like beef patties. I noticed, like, you know, there's the, there's the couture cuisine for those people that either have no reference point for what they're really buying, or they just, it's just cultural tourism, or they're not trying to go to the neighborhoods where they are the actual price, so they'll wind up paying $20 for a beef patty. And it's like, well, let that happen. Let that go on. As long as the rest of the world understands that that's a different market. This market don't affect that market, hopefully, at this point. And, you know, so every so often you will see sometimes one market trying to get it off, you know, but then they realize their consumer base is not fucking with that that other market, whatever, price scale. I'm rambling, FYI. I don't know if y'all know that. Listen, I told you, I don't have much to talk about. This is going to be a short one. Oh, man, shout out to Muhammad. Ali will be back soon. I meant to say that at the top of the pod. But yeah, shout out to that man. What else is going on? I'm trying to think, did I do anything? Went to the Whitney again. Went to the Biennial. This time I took a little bit of, I kind of took my time and like looked at the exhibits. Some good shit there. It was pretty good. It was good. It's always good to just get a little bit of culture. I did that. I'm reading this book called Rejection. That's kind of funny. It's a bunch of short stories that kind of deals with rejection and dating so far, but like in a way that's funny, not like that's like the fucking run of the mill dating propaganda content that is, you know, you see all over TikTok and Instagram. You know what I mean? The dating discourse. I'm not a big fan of too much dating discourse. I just don't like when people try to, I don't want to say even gamify it, but like create these certain absolute rules to dating. You know, I've grown out of that. I guess I've dated enough in life that I know it's what you make it. If you could get it off, you could get it off. Like there's no one way to do it. Like when I was a young kid, when I was growing up, and starting to date, I remember reading, like, you know, magazines and things of that nature, like, what, you know, how to do this on a first date, what, you know, all these little guidelines to life, you know? And I think at some point, after you've lived enough life and you realize these people are full of shit, you stop indulging in it. Hopefully you have that awakening. But sometimes, and it's always interesting to me, there's sometimes that people that have lived just as much life as you still live and die by these guidelines. And sometimes these guidelines be so arbitrary and they're like, you know, and it's just, it's wild. But anyway, it's not kind of that type of tire talk. It's pretty funny though. It's pretty funny so far. I just kind of started it recently. It's a book on, I got it on, it's an audio book. I feel like I gotta disclose that when I say, yeah, I'm reading this book. I gotta disclose the fact that it's an audio book. I do think there's a difference. I think there's a difference. You know what I'm saying? When I'm just listening. I overheard a good book. You know what I'm saying? I ain't read it. I ain't turn no pages. But I heard what they was talking about. I'm in this motherfucker sipping ice water and church fanning with some junk mail. It's a mailer for a political mailer. I'm in this bitch using it as a church fan because it's hot as shit and I ain't trying to turn the AC on just yet, but we about to be in the AC weather. We done made the turn. I don't know how long it's going to be, but it look like we are entering the heat zone, the sweat era. DTF St. Louis, I'm way, way, way behind. I might try to catch up and talk about it on the mic. Maybe next week, we'll see. I haven't really been watching too much. I did check in to watch Euphoria. I'm gonna talk about that real quick before I get out of here. If you don't want no spoilers, just know right now, if tonight, if you live in the Milford area, come out to the Milford Arts Council. There may still be some tickets left. Milford Arts Council, I think it's bounced down by the railroad in Milford, Connecticut. Come on through. I'm going to have a good little show, bug out. You know what I'm saying? Good to be in Connecticut. Now that that's plugged, let us talk about Euphoria. So Euphoria came back, and it's been a while. I don't know. I got to look back at the thing. It's been at least 3 years, I would imagine. It's been a long time. It's almost, like I said, I feel like it's been almost too long. It's been going so long that at least two members of the main cast are dead. They're gone. Angus Cloud and, what's my other guy's name? The guy, I think he played McSteamy also. I didn't even realize he was on. He was Nate's father. Oh, man. Let me look the guy up, actually. Yeah. So, Angus Cloud and Eric Dane both passed away. That's how long this show been going. Not the, you know, I mean, you could die in a show with a quicker turnaround, but I'm just using it to prove a point. It's been a while. And I didn't realize till a friend of mine was like, you know, this is just season three. It's been going for, I guess, because I still count the little specials that they did. The 2 hour specials. So anyway, listen, we back. April 12th came on, Sunday came on. I had a show, got back, and sat down, watched the joint, you know, watched the show. Opens up. Rue is in the, Rue's somewhere deep in Mexico, in a car with stuck in some mud, you know, old ass Jeep, you know what I'm saying? Looked like the transmission might be slipping. She driving through, she gets some Mexican cats, they help push her out. It's all love. She, you know what I mean? She moving and grooving. I forget what she playing. She playing a record. It was, I think, a Christopher Cross record. So it's one of those records for, like, the open road. You know what I mean? Christopher Cross made good records for, like, open road or a long bridge. You know what I'm saying? Good weather records. So she driving and shit. You know, wind going through her hair. She gets to, they set up, like, a little, kind of like a boost bridge so you could flip over one of the little walls that I guess Trump and them put up for Mexico and America. But unfortunately, the damn truck gets stuck. She got to amble out the truck with the drugs. She dip off, wind up staying at some, this religious family's home, you know, and telling them that she's a reporter, doing a story on drugs, and they're very religious, and you know, little do they know, she's got a whole damn near army bag full of fentanyl, you know. One of the girls drives her to the bus stop. This girl has never had a phone in her life. She's never done anything. She's like one of these, I don't know if she's just very isolated in a religious house, like very old school, very off the grid, you know. Rue was like, well, I'd love to change lives with you. Girl's like, really? You know, she drops her off. Well, 2 seconds, I thought it was Sydney Sweeney, but it wasn't. So Rue comes back, makes it all the way back to Los Angeles, I believe, and pulls up into some old raggedy looking, you know, not a flop house, but just one of them houses where there's just a whole lot of shit going on, all types of random people living there. Turns out it's Lori's house. She drop off all of the stuff, and then that's basically starts talking about how, you know, ever since Rue ran off on the plug, you know, Lori pulled up on her at her new little job, and due to inflation, due to the percentage, you know, the VIG, she owes Lori millions of dollars, but Lori's like, you know what? We'll cut it down to $100,000. You'll work for me till you pay off your, You pay off your debt. So now she's a mule for Lori. She's out there fucking smuggling fentanyl, drinking, like swallowing big old fucking big balloons of fentanyl, you know, like a kilo. Like a kilo of that all in your stomach. You know, God forbid one of those things burst, you'll die instantly. You know, she got one of the other girls, I forget her name, that's working with her. They all staying at Lori's house. So they back and forth. Just mule, Maria Full of Grace. If you've never seen that movie, Maria Full of Grace, check it out. It's a good, I guess it's a genre. It's a good mule movie. It's a movie about a young woman who's like a drug mule, but it's really good. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I really enjoyed it. Yeah, Maria Full of Grace. Y'all check that out. Anyway, so that's what this episode is definitely like a let's catch up with the people that you remember, and then we got some new people, right? So we catch up, we catching up with Cassidy, Sydney Sweeney's character, catch up with Sydney Sweeney. She's dressed like a dog on some sex pot type shit. She got her, the housekeeper holding the camera phone, and they recording content. She's, you know, she's a little sultry chihuahua or whatever, some type of dog, you know, and they're giving you exactly what you want from Sydney Sweeney, which they've always done. You know what I'm saying? So they doing that. Turns out she's about to marry Nate. They've survived. She's about to marry Nate. Nate looked like he seems to be making some money. He inherited his father's, RIP Eric Dane, his father's business. Because it seemed like he making some type of money. He pulling up in a Cybertruck. They living in a big house. I don't know exactly what part of town it is, but they living in a big house. They make the, which was very interesting, they make the allusion to, not even an allusion, they make the distinction to the fact that she's down with some, like, MAGA family. Like, her whole new existence is very MAGA-based, which is kind of on point with what's going on with her, actually, in real life. So he pull up, he's making money. He's tight that, you know, he's got the housekeeper. She's got the housekeeper recording her content because she don't work. He's footing the bill for everybody. There's no food on the stove. He's kind of flailing, trying to keep this business going. He feels away. So we see that that's their dynamic. Cassidy's sister, I forget her name. Let me go ahead and look at this. Let me go on IMDb and look at these people. Okay, so Cassie's sister, Lexi, who's Maud Apatow, she's working for like a hotshot, powerful female TV producer, which is a beautiful thing for her because now, you know, she's getting to kind of pursue her dream. You know, she did that big presentation of, what is it called? Not Oklahoma or whatever. Like, she's in her lane. So that's cool. We get, you know, we get reintroduced to her. They kind of say, you know, they bring up, which is interesting. They bring up Fez saying that he's in jail. You know what I mean? Like, he's in jail. He's been asking about you. So I don't know if Fez is going to die in jail. I don't know if this was shot or written prior to Angus Cloud's death. But I was like, that's odd, you know, but we'll see what happens. So they like, yeah, Fez been asking about this. Was what Rue got up with Lexi and was like, yeah, Fez is asking about you. You should just reach out to him. He ain't going nowhere. He in jail. You can reach out to him. She's like, yeah, no, you know, she's kind of avoiding the situation, you know. So that's that. Then we also catch up with old Maddie. Maddie is actually working for like a well-known, seems like an influencer, right? I don't know if it's TikTok or whatever, but like some well-known influencer. She's on the management team. She's probably she's his point person on the management team, and he making a whole lot of bread. And, you know, it seems like she's the hands-on person. They make it a point to show that
the management team gets 10% off of everything that he does, but she's a salaried worker, so they show her kind of, she ain't living like she could be, or may, I don't say should be, but could be living if her, you know, her profit margin was a little better, the splits was better. You know, so we see that. It's basically, this episode is them really just setting the table on, these are the people you remember, these are the people we haven't seen, this is what they up to, blah, blah, blah. Kat, I don't know, they ain't got her. I think I heard she's not coming back. They kind of talk a bit about Jules, who she hasn't shown up. So we see Rue, we see Cassie, we see Nate, we see Lexi, we see Maddie. Rue's sister Gia, we ain't seen her yet. Ashtray, did he get killed when they ran up in there and shot up the bathroom? I'm not sure. We don't see Rue's mom. We do see Ali Muhammad, who's Coleman Domingo's character, the other Ali Muhammad, spelt with a M-E-D. So we see that cat. I'm trying to think. And there's some new people. There's a bunch of new people that are on the show. What's my... Okay, so... I'm rambling a little bit. So there's some new people. So that they catching you up to. This is what's going on. So now, Rue's a mule, right? Rue's a drug mule. There that go. And it's obviously still Rue's story. They following Rue. And they splitting it up with Rue and Cassie. So Cassie and Nate, they're about to get married. Nate is, again, not doing well business-wise. I guess they're floundering a little bit. He needs to make a little bit more money. He needs to expand things so that he could be a little bit more flush with money, so he could actually afford the lifestyle that he's trying to provide for Cassie and himself. Cassie, again, is doing all of this provocative video content that Nate is not feeling. He's like, yo, what you doing out here? You looking crazy. You about to be my wife, and you're on the internet, scantily clad, this, that, and the other thing. So then it comes to a point to where she's talked to a homegirl, and they're talking about OnlyFans. Amy going to OnlyFans, and homegirl's like, what, the porn thing? She's like, well, that's quite the misrepresentation. Most people think that, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. So now there's talk about her going on OnlyFans. She has a conversation with Nate. At first, he's not with it, but she wants these flowers at her wedding, and they're going to cost $50,000. He can't really swing that at this moment. She's like, well, maybe we shouldn't get married because I ain't wait my whole life to have a ghetto wedding, you know? And I get, you know, he all in on her. So ultimately, I guess they come to a compromise that if she show the titties, don't show the face. You know what I'm saying? That's one of the big OnlyFans compromises. No face, please. No face, no case. Okay, I thought you said you was just going to be doing toes. Now you want to do titties? All right, now we got to renegotiate this whole situation because I feel very uncomfortable. There's a couple niggas that already know what your toes look like. You know what I mean? You do have that one bunion. You got that hammer toe on your left foot. You know what I'm saying? So certain people know because you used to be at the pool a lot. But anyway, yeah, let's just renegotiate this. Again, please do not show your face. Anyway, so boom, so they about to do that. That's that story. Then on the other side, we got Rue. Rue is working for Lori. Rue's working for Lori. The other girl that's with her, I don't know the white girl that's with her name, but she was there last year. I'm almost positive. She was there last year. She was the one that kind of, I think she was cool with Fez or something like that. So she's there. One of the guys that work for Lori, he's failing her. He be cooking for her and things like that. But he's been saving some money. He got like a little safe somewhere tucked away. The girl tells that to Rue. Rue's like, well, where's the safe at? She's like, I think it's buried or it's in one of these rooms. So what was the key? So the key's on his belt loop. She's like, yo, why don't you try to get that key? And they laugh. And so now I guess they scheming on that. We'll see what's going on. Right. So then they send Rue on a mission to go drop off some pills to a client. She pulls up, pulls into a a parking garage, and you know, there's a guy there. He's not saying anything. The garage closes. It's a dark garage, and then you know, she gets out the car. And, you know, he says, he asks for the pills, gives him the pills. She's about to, I guess, should be getting paid, but she's like, yo, can I use your bathroom? Where's your bathroom? He's like, yeah, it's upstairs, to the right, then to the left. Don't touch anything you ain't supposed to touch. She's like, all right, bet. She goes upstairs. When she goes upstairs, she's realizing, oh, shit, this is like a whole brothel, like a fly-ass brothel. It's a swimming pool. There's nothing but just women in various states of undress, you know what I'm saying? Like titties, no titties, almost a titty. There's a, you know, they naked in the pool, all of that shit. It's a, you know, it's a vibe. This is what Rue like. Her head is spinning. She goes to the bathroom, use the bathroom. There's a girl that's trying to put a top on. She's like, yo, I need your help. Rue's like, certainly. She's helping the girl. Then next thing you know, she's so open. She's in the middle of the circle, dancing with the girls, totally forgot that she's supposed to go downstairs and get paid. And, you know, one thing leads to another. The pills are starting to get distributed. And one of the girls takes the pill, winds up overdosing immediately. It's fentanyl. Okay, well, actually, I'm speeding ahead. Rue is in the midst, just enjoying herself. So she winds up, you know, getting involved. You know, Rue, she wound up getting involved. She's all drinking and smoking with the ladies, you know, and then, you know, basically the guy that told her, what's my man's name? Because it was good to see him in this joint. What is his name? Darrell? Let me see my man's name. Oh, Darrell Britt Gibson. So you see, Darrell Britt Gibson is like, he's the guy, he's the connect, he's the liaison between, he's the one you just drop off with, and he was going to pay you, and you was going to be out your way. Now he got to go upstairs and look for her, and then he finds her, you know what I mean? Darrell, I like Darrell, I've seen him in a lot of stuff. Let me look at his IMDb. Where do we know him from, or what do I know him from? Okay, Barry, I don't remember him in Barry. Judas and the Black Messiah, and other stuff. I think he was in the Three Billboards, they said, something like that. But I remember him in Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Keanu. You know, you see, I've seen his face quite a bit. I'm happy to see him in there. It's like, it's him in there. Marshawn Lynch is in there. That's working with the guy Alamo. Marshawn Lynch is, his character is G. And then Adewale Akinyoye Agbaye, I might be butchering that whole situation. He played Alamo, who's basically the owner of this little sexy little whorehouse. So anyway, Rue in there wilding. What's my man Darrell's name in the thing? What is his name? Bishop. Bishop grabs her. He's trying to take her up out of there because he told her, don't get caught up in this shit. Let's go. He pulling Alamo's up in the pool with all the women. And he like, yo, hold on, who this? You know what I'm saying? What's going on here? And she's, you know, she introduces her. He's like, you in my house? You ain't even speak to me? I think that's rude. She's like, I ain't know, you know. So next thing you know, they in his office smoking a joint. Bishop is not feeling it. He's sitting in the back tight because he's like, you know, this shit should have been an in and out type of thing. This is Lori's worker. He tries to make it clear, like, she's not a player. She's just somebody that's been dispatched to drop off the thing. So anyway, they talking. He's telling her about, you know, how he created this whole shit. She is wide open. She looking at this job at this whorehouse like a gig at Google. She's like, oh, I really want to do this. I'm in a terrible job. I owe Lori all this money because of some shit that happened in high school. They like, high school? And like, yeah, you know, I was in high school and I owed her X amount of dollars. Now I got to pay her off and I'm over here doing this and I would love to work with you. Like, all of a sudden, which reminds me, and just like, the you know, in that scene, they like, high school? It reminds me, even though this has been a long time, You know, she fresh out of high school. She doesn't really, besides being a drug addict, she don't really have much life experience under her belt still. She's very impressionable, very go with the flow, like real carefree, reckless, like immature, you know, and you forget about it because amongst the circle, you know, she probably came across a little bit more worldly. Now, was that just because you've been getting high and you in recovery and that recovery could add an air of, you know what I'm saying, of maturity or whatever? But it just realized the way that she just going to jump from the Lori situation to this whole other situation that could be even worse just because she caught up in how it looked was just, reaffirmed how immature this girl is. Anyway, so they in there having a good time, chopping it up, blah, blah, blah. Word comes back, I believe at this point, G might have came in, Marshawn Lynch came in, said, yo, one of the women, she just OD'd. There's fentanyl, like they tested it. Oh, my man Asante Black is in the joint too. He's in there. He's working in the control, like in the, looks like maybe surveillance or whatever. He plays a character called Kid. You might have seen Asante in Story Ave. Shout out to Bonsu Thompson. Anyway, he's breaking down. They checking the pills. Pills laced with fentanyl. She should have been on the road by now. But now, since she's not there, as my man Famous would say, streets need a body. You know, so now Rue is in a situation to where she has to kind of be responsible for all this. She had nothing to do with it. She says, listen, I didn't cut this thing. I didn't, you know what I mean? I didn't press these pills. None of it. All I did was just pick it up and drive it to you. I have nothing to do with it. Blah, blah, blah. They not really feeling that. I believe she starts to cry because she's like, I feel God brought me in this situation. She brought me to you, you know, because I'm looking for a change in life. Oh, yeah, when she had her sponsor meeting with Ali at the diner, they started talking about the Bible, and she was saying she's going to start reading the Bible. So she's also, besides being a drunk mule, she's an Uber driver. So she's Uber driving with the Bible on tape playing with passages in the Uber, which is, that was a funny little scene. So anyway, so she's trying to get into religion real crazy because she needs a miracle. She felt as though this might have been God trying to set her up for something else. And she's telling this story and she's really convicted. So much so she starts to cry, and you know, she says, so you believe in God? Says, yeah. Says, well, let's see if God believe in you. They take her to the rooftop. They put an apple on her head. My man pull out a revolver, put one bullet in. He's going to shoot the apple off her head. Now, if he kill her, it is what it is. But if he get that apple, her life is, her life is saved, spared, and whatever happens now will happen from there. So we got that moment. She's still a little twisted. And Rue, you know, Rue is Rue. Rue is always, like I said, she just kind of living in the moment. You know what I mean? Living, barely living, existing in the moment. She's just in the moment. And I think Bishop is like, I think you need to be still. Maybe that was G. You need to be a little bit still. So she tried to be as still as she can be. She's nervous, though. She realizes this could be her death, right? But she seems somewhat resigned to it because I guess she don't feel like she has much to live for. Or maybe she just believes that this is, to quote LaRussell, heaven sent. You know, so anyway, long story short, a little bit of suspense builds up. I'm thinking he ain't really going to shoot her. I'm thinking he trying to scare her, whatever. But nah, he busts that gun. Bow! And yeah, that shit knocks off the apple, does not hit her. She collapses into like just pure, she's overjoyed. She's, you know, it's almost like she has a second chance at life. She's been reborn, all of this, you know, and then it goes off. So it was a cool, I remember when it went off, I remember like saying, nah, I enjoyed it. Almost in a defensive moment, because I had already heard before the show even premiered, this episode even premiered, it was already getting bad reviews. You know, and it's been gone for so long, one, that I think that it's probably informed a good amount of television in various ways, that when it comes back, it almost looks cliche, you know, because you feel like, you know, you've seen it before. There's a lot of people that don't really rest with Sam Levinson. There's this whole thing about, I think I spoke about it a while ago, but there's a photographer, I want to say her name is Petra Collins. Is that her name? Yeah, Petra Collins. She's a Canadian. I don't know why this Google goes so crazy slow. She's a Canadian artist and director of photography. There's a lot of people that say, like, Sam stole her whole sauce. Like, the style and look of Euphoria was really birthed by her. Y'all look her up, Petra Collins, if you didn't know. So there's a lot of that. It's like people, you know, some people just feel a way about that. Some people feel a way about Sam Levinson, you know, all of this stuff. So I haven't read any of the reviews and I haven't listened to anything. I didn't want anything to inform what I spoke to on this. But I'm ready. We'll see where it goes. We'll see how they address the cast members that are dead. And the Fez thing already seems a little awkward and kind of in poor taste, to be totally honest with you, but maybe they'll write it into the thing. Maybe he's getting killed in jail. I don't know what's going to happen, but long story short, I'm happy it's back. I'm going to be locked in, tuned in, and see where it goes. Let me know what y'all thought of that first episode. Were you a fan of it? Was it interesting? Are you into Euphoria? Has it jumped the shark? Is it not what, you know, whatever. Let me know how you feel. And yeah, that's it. That's it. And that is it. That's it. This was, like I said, a quick one, a one and done. I got to run. You know what I mean? So Milford, Connecticut, tonight, 8 p.m., Milford Arts Council. If you're in the area, come through. If not, I got some other things coming out, coming soon to a city near you. And as always, tell a friend. Tell a friend. You know what I mean? Begin the conversation.
Hello.
I'm out.
Conversation.